heart and soul of a nation, beckons the call. The voice of our forefathers heard in the distance.
A house divided against itself cannot stand.
To reclaim our honor.
Our soul. The challenges of a generation call out. Future generations hang in the balance. We choose liberty. This is the voice of a nation. And now, Malcolm.
You remember back with the whole Hillary Clinton thing and the bleach and the hammer and the banging of the phones and all the data and the computers, and you remember all that crazy stuff that was going on, and it became sort of a national scandal for sure. But it was also a late night joke by the comics, and it was supposed to be ha 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 funny, you know. But of course, had you had a senior conservative doing that, it wouldn't have been so ha ha funny on the national airwaves, I think most of you know. But that's kind of what was going on. And then you see more recent stories. I mean, we know all what happened with Mueller and all of that stuff and, you know, the Russia thing. I mean, we've been down those roads and we're all sort of tired of that one. But just recently, you see, there were like over a couple of dozen phones. I think it was about 27 or something like that. I don't know. Phones with the Mueller team that were wiped. Just, you know, the tech gods from, well, I can't say heaven, from hell came up. And they erased the phones, you see, and just magically, just really accidental things. It's just coincidental, totally. Just the stars aligned properly, and there you go. All those phones are wiped, and you can't get the data or what have you. So at this point, what's happening, my fellow Americans, is we are involved, I believe, in a cover-up that goes from here to the stars. I mean, this thing is significant. We're only seeing the early parts of this thing. And, you know, years down the road from now, we'll understand the gravity of what we've been experiencing and what we've all lived through. So let me bring you right now to the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe. Okay. So the DNI has he had a statement out there to clarify this whole thing about some of this cover up that I'm talking to you about, the Russia thing, the Russia, you know. Brings me back to the days with Palin in a simpler day where she could see Russia from her home. Remember that? That was quite the scandal. So let me read you this right from the statement from the DNI, please. And we'll jump right into this with Colonel Warshak in just a moment. And I quote, in late July 2016, U.S. intelligence agencies obtained insight into Russian intelligence analysis, alleging that U.S. presidential candidate Hillary Clinton had approved a campaign plan to stir up a scandal against U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump by tying him to Putin and the Russians hacking of the Democratic National Committee. You know, Hillary Clinton and Obama had a very affectionate relationship with Putin. You remember the reset button and all of that. And of course, they took, you know, the Ukraine, you had the peninsula there and all of that business went on. You remember all of that. I mean, they don't have exactly a brilliant track record on Russia and what was going on in Crimea there in the Ukraine, you know. So back to this DNI statement. According to his handwritten notes, the former Central Intelligence Agency Director Brennan subsequently briefed President Obama and other senior national security officials on this intelligence, including the alleged approval by Hillary Clinton on July 26, 2016, of a proposal from one of her foreign policy advisors to vilify Donald Trump by stirring up a scandal claiming interference by Russian security services. On the 7th of September, in the year 2016, U.S. intelligence officials forwarded an investigative referral to FBI Director Stooge James Comey and Deputy Assistant Director of Counterintelligence Peter Strzok regarding U.S. presidential candidate Hillary Clinton's approval of a plan concerning U.S. presidential candidate Donald Trump and Russian hackers hampering U.S. elections as a means of distracting the public from her use of a private mail server. So here we are, friends, fast forward now. And part of the challenge here is, you see, look at this as one busy city center intersection. And all of these roads are leading into this intersection of phones being wiped and bleach blitz and smashed and data wiped now today, and the Mueller fiasco of trying to take down the president and all of that. All of those roads lead right into here. Now, then you have to wonder what else was on all those computers and phones and everything else that's being wiped, which is, you know, national security, of course. I mean, people should be in prison for this kind of a thing, very clearly. And certainly you would be if you did this, rest assured. So then you have to wonder, a lot of other stories and a lot of other narratives that come into this thing as to what was really going on. And the real challenge here is that a lot of these people, you know, we talk about the cover up, but, you know, when you come to, again, Barack Obama administration, you come into Brennan, Clapper, and now Comey, you see his talk up on the Hill this week and the denial of knowing anything. Conveniently, these people are just total CYA at this point. They know the ship is sinking. And so now you have everybody doing all of these shenanigans, really, is what I would call it. And then, you know, there's so many other stories that come in here. So what's happening, what I would suggest, is we're dealing with a cover up that we've never seen in our nation. I mean, to my knowledge, anyways, we've never seen anything to the likes of this thing. I mean, I don't know what you would compare this to. I mean, it's that serious and that egregious as to what has taken place here. All the way through the Trump campaign and the Hillary Clinton campaign, all the way through to present day. And the cover-up of these agencies and the FBI and the CIA and the more so the DOJ and all that has transpired there and the bureaucracy, which I talk to you about all the time. And that's, my fellow Americans, is where we find ourselves today. And this story is a wow. It is a big wow, and I'm not going to let it rest because there's, you know, the president has COVID or the sky is falling or, you know, something else is happening in the universe here. This is important stuff. Let's bring on Colonel Jim Warshak now. And Colonel Jim Warshak is retired from United States Air Force. He is a career senior intelligence and special missions officer, former Deputy Director of Intelligence at U.S. Central Command, served on the White House National Security Council of Staff. Okay, so Jim, I look at what I say here, and I want to get right into this here with you now. So there are three points that we'll get to a bottom line. I want to get right to the bottom line up front and talk about it. To me, this thing, I would call it's a cover-up, and we've talked over the years. But if you look at this thing right now, bottom line, Hillary Clinton manufactured a Russian collusion scheme against Trump, candidate Trump, and then President Trump. The CIA director at the time, John Brennan, certainly briefed Obama. And when they say briefed Obama, I would question you, but it sounds to me like you don't just brief the president. The president had to be involved in every part of this, they're careful in the intelligence agency, I would suggest to you, is my opinion, to put that into reports because they need to have everything ironclad. But that's what that says to me, is that that implicates Barack Obama right there. These are my words now. And then the FBI director, James Comey, who has been a total loose cannon on this thing, was center to a lot of what's transpired here. What are we looking at from a cover-up standpoint, Jim, and what I say there about Obama in real facts and terms today, not speculation, but knowing what we know from the DNI right now and that this story got no traction here this past week here?
Well, Malcolm, everything you laid out with regard to speculation is, in fact, pretty solid, truthful. The fact that Brennan briefed the president of the United States, Barack Obama, is significant. It means the president was fully aware of what was going on, and we know for a fact he was briefed multiple times by different people, from the attorney general to the director of the FBI at the time, Comey, to John Brennan, who was at the time, obviously, director of CIA. So he had been involved in this knowledge-wise, maybe even giving some direction, I would suspect. But most of the people who were around the table with him and who were hired by him they knew what they needed to do. And in this case, the cover up was in play. I call it a coup or a coup d'etat. It was in place. And, you know, even Hillary Clinton. And here's the funny thing about Hillary Clinton. It seems to me, and I've written about this, Hillary Clinton seems to have a habit of writing false narratives on all different kinds of things, which means she is notoriously involved in cover-ups. We go back to Benghazi, where she wrote the story about the fake video that inspired the situation in Benghazi. And, you know, everything she does. And now in this case, she was involved in the cover up from the standpoint of preparing the narrative for the Russia collusion. That's been her role in the Obama administration, giving her the lead on the cover up. So, you know, when we can get into the depth here of some things, the other thing I want to mention, and this might be kind of a gotcha. When you talk about the erasing of the cell phone data, remember that's digital data. And we all know once a text is sent, once a tweet is sent, once a email is sent, whatever form of electronic digital correspondence is sent, you can clean it from the phone, but it's somewhere else out in the Ethernet or on someone else's computer, and it's picked up. And that's one thing a lot of people they forget about. Well, if I wipe my server clean or if I destroy my cell phone, nobody's ever going to get the information. Other than a document or piece of information that is still only in draft form on that phone, and it may go somewhere else as well, if that piece of correspondence communications was sent, and depending on who you addressed it to, or you know, the phone companies have it in the cloud, and, you know, you can even for criminal investigative purposes, you can go get a warrant, FISA warrant from, you know, either through the FBI or another federal intelligence agency to gather that. So, and I look at it as if you are misusing a government phone or you're using your own phone to do something nefarious against the federal government, against America, you are automatically subject to criminal penalties and investigation. And if they need to get that data, they're going to get it. And so it's going to be interesting to see as this plays out with the Attorney General Barr and Durham, if any of this stuff comes out, and I think it will.
So you seem pretty confident that even though, like you say, they think they've erased or deleted something, that some of that may already be in the hands of like a Durham or something, huh?
Oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm convinced they probably have. You know, I've when I was serving, I was issued classified secure phones and Thuraya cell phones, and you know all the data that is on that phone when I used it, when I turn it in, gets downloaded for posterity purposes, historical for a record, and then the phone is erased professionally by the organization. And the reason I do that, because then that phone will be reissued to a new user at the time. But the government, when you're issued a phone and you're issued one and you have the responsibility of, you know, a high level clearance and stuff, they want to know what you're using that phone for and what you're using and doing with it. And so that's going to be recorded. Now, in this case, while they may have been wiped clean, as long as they made a phone call or they sent a text or an email via that phone, it's going to be somewhere else, either with a recipient who received it, and they can go subpoena that person and say, what information did you receive? You were copied on an email that, you know, Brennan or somebody else sent, what was on that. And that's the kind of thing that people don't pay attention to.
Let me ask you this. Now, the people who have wiped the phones and bleach blipped it and done all kinds of things, and the recent ones with Mueller. Now, these people are not stupid. They obviously, I would think they're not stupid potentially, but they obviously are aware of what you're talking about, that in the digital technical world that there are always bits of information left. You're exactly right. And it ends up somewhere. It's a whole different program today with technology. Now, having said that, so there's either two things that come to my mind, Jim. Number one, they're certainly aware of that. So one thought is, okay, maybe they recognize that, but by doing this and eliminating phones or computers or what have you, making information not available, they believe that, okay, maybe it'll eventually be found out, but at least they'll slow them down on the trail. Now, that's one way to look at it, maybe. They think that's going to slow them down on the trail. The other thing I'm wondering, Jim, is when you come to the sort of, you know, I think about two people meeting in a park somewhere on a bench somewhere, and they're always looking at different opposite ways. You know, we see those kind of CIA kind of movies, you know, and they're handing things off, and they're always careful about information. So it's always passed on like paper or something, or written down in the most interesting way. At the highest level, people who deal with this understand how these trails are. So I would venture to say, and I'm guessing here, but I would think there's a lot of information here and a lot of trail that probably isn't documented at all, that probably was never put in the digital form because the people who were talking at this level never wanted that to be found. Talk to me on what I say there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And that type of activity still occurs, obviously. You know, what you reference is probably what people have seen in spy movies from the 50s, 60s, and 70s, where that, you know, that, yes, that still happens. And that's the harder nut to crack in this, to kind of get that information. But, you know, when the first thing that comes to mind, I'll give you two quick examples. Mm-hmm. Remember Hillary's fake server, private server she had in the bathroom or whatever, you know, and we heard the stories all about that. And she was emailing the White House, which means, having worked there and worked in classified environments, every single phone call, email, whatever goes into the White House is interrogated by the systems administrators of the White House Communications Agency, because they don't want any spam and malware and all kinds of garbage going in. And you have to essentially register your email address, even if it's a private one that you use from home. And, you know, when I worked there, you know, if you needed to email a situation room with something, hey, what about this? Don't forget this tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. And it's going to come from my private email. My private email had to be registered. So when it pinged onto the system there, the system would say, oh, yeah, that's Jim Warshak. Let that email come in. Otherwise, you're not going to get in. So when Hillary Clinton came up with an email address, and I know it's been out there publicly, that she used, that was recognized by the system in the White House to let it go through to the president. And she had the right, because she was Secretary of State, to do that. Those systems administrators also were aware of that. So those men and women who served in that capacity knew, oh, okay, the first time that email, and she most likely had to tell them, oh yeah, I'm going to be sending emails to the president, and this is the email address. You have to register all the email addresses that you use when you know, I did it when I was at CENTCOM, I did it at the White House, I did it at the Pentagon, so those emails could get through. So there's going to be a record there, and I'm sure those guys have been talked to, or they've made memorandums for the record to cover their own butts, because sooner or later, someone's going to question them, were you aware of this? Mm-hmm. Same thing with the folks who are involved in erasing phones for whatever federal agency they work for. Right. If someone, you know, if it's Comey or whoever says, okay, all these phones that were being used, or in the Justice Department, CIA, erase all those phones, and that directive is coming from a senior person, they're going to have a record of that. And those people are going to know, I was told on such and such a date to erase these phones. They may not know what they were erasing, but they're going to cover their own butts and make sure they have the record is there. And sooner or later, if there was anything criminal, someone is going to be coming to talk to them, either, you know, someone from Durham's office or whoever, saying, okay, on this date, you erased 15 phones from the special counsel's office of the Mueller investigation. Whose phones were those? Because all those phones are going to be recorded was by who they were given out to. And so that record is going to be there. You may have to subpoena somebody to get that information. And those guys are also going to be told, you know, there was criminal act there. And if you don't tell us, or help us with this, you could be, you know, considered part of the crime. So people don't think about that off the top of their heads when they're in a situation, oh, I got to get rid of this phone, or I got to do this.
Right.
And if, you know, and even with the Hillary thing where you heard about the hammer to the phones, I would question, were those government phones? If you're private phones, well, there's not a whole lot you can do with it. But if it was a government issued phone and that was, they were ordered to be destroyed, someone is going to be investigating that. And I know Durham right now has opened a new investigation on Hillary Clinton, which is very, very interesting. And that happened because of this new information that the DNI just received that he talked about a number of days ago.
So you are saying to me that there's another investigation is separate from what Durham was already doing on HC? Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
That's correct.
Wow, I hadn't heard that, Jim.
That just got opened over the last 3 or 4 days.
Okay, see, there was nothing really about that. That's amazing. So
they're keeping it secret. Of course, I blew the lid on that, but it's been out there in a few circles. People okay. have talked about it.
All right, so I want to come back to Hillary just a little bit after here, but I want to stay on something about Barack Obama a moment here. So there are a couple of things I'm thinking about when we're talking about the implication of a president. Now, it's one thing when you're at a Hillary Clinton level, you know, former Secretary of State, former First Lady. We know all the things that she was involved in her life, back to Arkansas and all of that, right? And we know that. And so we'll come back to that. But when we talk about Barack Obama, when you talk about the level of a cover up or a scandal of the likes of what we're talking about, and we're talking about, you know, to me, the narrative changes, Jim, when we talk about the implication of a former president. I mean, this becomes like massive in size. This is like an inside coup, takeover, whatever you want to call it. This is unprecedented in American politics. And yet the media today run around fomenting these lies about the current president, Trump, that he's not going to leave the White House, when clearly the coup was against him, that he would never get in the White House. It's ironic how they flip the narrative and the storyline all the time. But here's the thing about Obama, I'm thinking. All right, so as a former president, I would imagine that he took every precaution to cover his communications. I mean, the president has every tool available to him and then some. And so I am sure that, back to the old CIA movies we talked about, you know, you can rest assured that he was being super careful to cover his tracks to the point that he could. Now, obviously, we're seeing already early signs and things of his involvement. But when we, so there's that I'd like you to comment on, is that true or not? But the other big thing I want to say to you that I can't seem to rationalize or come to, you know, a conclusion in my mind is this. When we say, well, Obama knew or that Barack Obama was, you know, briefed is the word we use. So he was briefed on it. And I'm thinking to myself, well, Jim, that's a fool's game. I mean, you don't brief the president. The president creates the chart of a, let's be clear here. Nobody's saying this. And I think it's important to put the president, he is the commander. He is the pilot. He has his hands on the wheel. You don't go in and just brief the president. By the way, we decided to go ahead and take down the Trump campaign. What the hell? We thought we had nothing better to do on a Friday afternoon, Prez. Is that okay? You know, I mean, you're not kind of doing that. These orders have to come from the top. The president, there's not, to me, it does not do it justice when all these stories come out or the DNI say, well, but Obama was briefed. Hell, Obama wasn't. Obama was, he was creating the chart of orders here. I mean, you tell me for a moment that these clowns around the president and his cabinet and all these people, the only way you would be briefing a president is if the president created the orders for you to go do all of this, or you wouldn't be briefing a damn president. Now, tell me I'm wrong.
No, you're absolutely right. The president sets the course, and his senior officials who are in charge or charged with running that, whether it was Comey or Loretta Lynch or, you know, John Brennan and a number of other people, Clapper, they all had a role in this, and they all had a particular job. And when you're in that kind of situation and the president is aware of it, part of the responsibility of those is to keep him abreast of what's going on. Now, if these folks went and did it on their own, and they may have initially said, we got to do something about it. Here's the plan. Someone is going to tell the president, here's what they're planning on doing. Now, if the president has even the minuscule degree of integrity, gets wind of that, or is told, maybe his chief of staff tells him, or, you know, maybe the department, the attorney general tells him,
he would stop.
If he's got any integrity, he's going to say, what the hell are you doing? No, we're not going to do that. That's stop right. It right now. That's the end. And might even fire the individual for even bringing that to him. I didn't see any of that happening. Didn't see any of that happening. He went along, and now we know through the various pieces of information that have been put out, which is legit, because it all goes along and fits the narrative. And I mean, you get into the in-depth of how Brennan and Clinton manufactured the story, and who they went to get to do to write the Steele dossier, to come up with, you know, that was the most ridiculous story to put out. I mean, as soon as you read it, you know, like I remember years ago when I first read it about the president in Moscow, I'm like, come on, that's just so bizarre. That alone should have ended it, but you know, they went along with it. And when you get into the details, now the key thing, and you mentioned it, were July 2016. This was in the works well before that. The idea behind it, maybe the first briefing and maybe the first draft of a lot of this came into play then, but it had been in the works well before it. I knew in April 16 from my discussions with two individuals who are names in this, they were well aware of it. This went into play the minute it looked like Trump was going to be the nominee, and by the time he was the designated nominee for the Republican Party in March 16, that's when this stuff really started to go, yep, you know, full bore. But I believe some of it may have even been in the works, because a lot of people by January 16 were saying, you know, Trump could probably win. So they, you know, win the nomination for the Republican Party. A lot of people then, you know, be it Comey and Clapper and Brennan, may have already started thinking and talking about it. That's small potatoes from the standpoint of where we are now, but
that's right.
This just didn't happen. And yeah, the president just didn't get briefed on a whim because somebody thought he should know. He was fully aware.
Well, he was not only aware, but this was his grand plan, because as you just stated a moment ago here, Donald Trump was really moving up into the polls and the system, and he was becoming a threat to a Hillary Clinton presidency. And now all of the, all of the progress, I mean, call it whatever you want, people, progress by their standards, sure. But it really is an un-American story on the face of President Barack Obama, whether you liked his policies or not. I mean, what we're revealing here and talking about is he was up to no good. I mean, and you know, you could see they would have a meeting in the White House or at some disclosed place, and they would be talking about this at the highest level. And this was obviously concocted from that standpoint and put out with his cabinet and others to stop the rise of Donald Trump and to secure the presidency of Hillary Clinton. Now, this is a big deal, because this tells you where the American people overrode what the wishes of the former president were, and those cabinet people and others who were carrying out his wishes. And I would say to you, this is exactly what Barack Obama's plan. This was a cover-up at the highest order. All the evidence points to that. This is not speculation. I mean, just look at the evidence. In our country, it starts and it stops with the president of the United States. So that's where it's at. That's where the power is. always has been. And that's what it is here, my fellow Americans. And so you can rest assured when you put your head on the pillow tonight to know that he is absolutely implicated in all of this. And more than that, he is the lead cause of this, I am certain. And based on all this evidence, so when they're using words like briefing and just, it's important you have the caveat. He is the pilot of the ship at that point, okay? And so he knows what's going on. He has directed them to do accordingly. That is how it works in our country. And as Jim was just saying, otherwise it would be a smackdown at the highest order, or the president would fire you from that position, rest assured. Now, all right, so here's what gets more interesting now is we will resume after the pause here with Colonel Jim Warshak. And that is, you know, you think in the terms, and I've been thinking about this in recent days and weeks with this story from the DNI. This to me was finally one of the first breakthroughs we've had of real intelligence and information to say, ha ha, we gotcha. Wasn't just speculation or waiting for the next IG report that is going to blow everything open that never comes, right? I mean, but this was finally something, and it happened. I applaud Ratcliffe because it happened like that. It didn't, you know, there wasn't a big setup and a big letdown as we always get in this country. Here's the thing. You think back to the destruction, and you look at Hillary and Bill Clinton. Now, listen, I don't play in conspiracies or thought process of things that aren't true. Don't do it. Never have, never will. This is not the Alex Jones hour here or anything else like it. These are facts and data that we're talking about. This is real stuff, real life. But when you think about Hillary Clinton and you think about Bill Clinton, and you know, my fellow Americans, you think back to the Arkansas days and the controversies that have surrounded these two. I would suggest to you today, in real terms, this is a live, what do they say, Bonnie and Clyde, or is it a moment here of American politics? This is the Bonnie and Clyde of our days here. It's unbelievable what we've got here that has played out when, as Jim was just saying, all of the bad narratives and the false information and the reports that she has been involved in. This is one of the most insincere and evil people with a different agenda to violate our political lines in this country outside of the king himself, Barack Obama. And you know, I'm not now saying all that as a partisan. I am saying that as an American. And so rest assured, you know, it's yeah, historical would be a light moment here. These are pivotal moments in American politics that are being written at this moment. And there is a cover up here in play that is massive in size and it needs to be taken down and corrected at once. We'll take a pause here on The Voice of the Nation, back with Colonel Jim Warshak in just a moment.
Our global experts are brilliant writers and engaging hosts on a mission of a lifetime. You'll find the latest news and inspiration on the front page of AmericaOutloud.com.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Hello, this is Lieutenant Randy Sutton, the host of Blue Lives Radio, the voice of American law enforcement. I am a 34-year police veteran. I am also the founder and CEO of an organization that stands behind injured and disabled law enforcement officers. It is called The Wounded Blue. Our website is thewoundedblue.org. We have produced a film. It is an important film. I urge you to watch it. The film details what happens when a police officer or law enforcement officer is shot or stabbed or beaten or disabled, seriously injured in the line of duty. Most people think they are taken care of medically and financially. The reality may be quite different. It is called The Wounded Blue: Service, Sacrifice, Betrayed. The film is available on Amazon, iTunes, and the Microsoft Store.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. This is not a fight of Republican versus Democrat. It's not a fight of rich versus poor, old versus young, man versus woman, gay versus straight. It's not a fight of black lives, blue lives, Hispanic lives, or white lives. This is a battle of good versus evil. It's a fight for the soul of humanity. We are the vision of the voices, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Listen to Malcolm, the voice of a nation, on iHeartRadio or our free apps on Apple, Android, or Alexa.
Well, let's talk about this Hillary and Bill, the crime. It's like a syndicate. It's like a mob. Maybe that's the way to look at it, Jim. I look at it almost like a current day mob with Hillary and Bill, where reference to Bonnie and Clyde of our day. But everything she has touched and the narrative she has written, we're looking at a really evil figure here in American politics, are we not?
Well, as I said yeah. I mean, Hillary has a track record for doing that. You know, you can go all the way back to the Watergate hearings, and she was fired because she lied in some of the work that she was doing as a junior lawyer working for the Watergate prosecution. So
she was fired back then, you're saying?
Oh yeah. You know, you go back to that time frame. She was a young lawyer intern working on it, and she got caught. Not to get into the details, but she got caught lying, and they fired her. So
this lady has a whole past in history of doing these kinds of things.
A record of
wow.
this.
Wow.
And that's why I we've talked about it in the past a number of times on Benghazi, and you know, everything she touches, as you said, she's involved in some type of corrupt criminal activity. And, you know, the foundation, the Clinton Foundation and the Clinton Global Organization and all this was all criminal, you know, was all about raising money from foreign, you know, she's, you know, I've seen information where, and it's pretty solid where, you know, they were shaking down wealthy businessmen and executives and heads of states around the world because they had dirt on them and said, okay, how would you like to donate to the Clinton Foundation? And by the way, let me slide this dossier we have. Where did she get the dossier? Well, she was the Secretary of State, and she had access to, you know, we prepare information on foreign heads of state and business leaders because we want to know who they are. And the intelligence community has that stuff, and it's there for the purpose of us knowing who we want to deal with. And if we get involved in some type of negotiations, that you need to know this about the guy, he's involved in sex trafficking or he's involved in drug trafficking. We need to know those kind of things. Well, she learned while at State Department, and Bill learned while he was president, that, you know, you get those documents put across your desk saying, you need to read this, Mr. President, because you're going to meet with the head of state who knows this guy from country X. You might not want to get too cozy with him because, you know, we do that to protect ourselves. Well, Clinton and Hillary, Bill and Hillary, realize, wow, I have access to this. Boy, we could shake these people down. This is one of the reasons she created the private server so she could take stuff off the official U.S. government classified computer network, put it on hers, give it to the Clinton Foundation so that they could send their their emissaries out to foreign countries to say, hey, Mr. Businessman, and you name the country, United Arab Emirates, how would you like to donate $50 million to the Clinton Foundation? Well, you know, how about if I do $1 million? Well, let me slide this piece of paper over to you. Let me show you what we know about you. Okay, where do you want that check made out to? That's the kind of stuff that the Clinton Foundation was involved in. You can call it extortion, bribery, you know, but that's the reason they did that. They wanted to get out from behind the government to do that kind of stuff.
You bring up a great point, and I'm so glad you said it within the private server. That's a good reminder for all of us to think about. Now, you know, in terms of why somebody would do that, I remember the storylines, Jim, about the private server. Like, why would somebody, you know, now she wasn't supposed to have that private server. What are the implications of somebody in that position having a private server? You know, I was hearing things like in the bathroom closet or whatever it was. I don't know. But what are the implications of that? And what if everybody did that in a government position? And should they do it?
Well, you know, look at it this way. We all have our own private computers, and, you know, whether you're on Gmail or AOL or whatever, we all have private email. Whether we work for the government or not, we have it, and we can do our own thing on it and everything. We're not supposed to do government work on that. So, you know, she probably had her own personal private email, like everybody does, but she needed another one totally isolated from that, and totally isolated from her official State Department computer network, and to hide nefarious stuff on. Why else would you go through that effort? And it's more than obvious. Those who have worked in government, worked in the intelligence community. Okay, so how did she do this? Well, she wasn't sitting there all day long doing it. She had a team of people. We all know who her staff was, who was doing that. You know, take it, download it, scan it, whatever, and put it on my private server so that it's totally, I can go do my own thing from it. That's the reason she hijacked information from stole. You know, that's why they found so much classified on her private server. She broke the law in so many ways in how she did that. Plus the reason why she was doing it. What were you doing with it? Using U.S. government information to profit privately for your and Bill's private corporation. And who knows what else was on there leading up to this. If it stinks, it stinks. And it stunk. Yeah. And that's she just has this ongoing record of doing this kind of stuff.
Oh, Jim, reference a modern day Bonnie and Clyde, I'm not lying, am I?
No, not at all. Not at all. You know, there were people who were aware of this. Obama had to be aware of it. If she sent him an email, like I said, previously, he knew, when you're sitting there and you get an email from somebody and you're like, okay, you either know it or you don't. And you open it and you find out, oh, it's from Jim Warshak. Oh, he must have got a new email address.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But then when you're working in the White House, and whether it's Barack Obama or whatever president's private communications that he has as Barack Obama, private citizen, and it's coming into the White House system, everything gets interrogated electronically coming into the system. Right. Otherwise, it would have bounced off the firewall and it wouldn't have got to him. They set it up for him to read her stuff.
All right. So with this said, in this private server now, it's very clear she was running her side agenda for lots of reasons, for all the nefarious things she was doing, but for the foundation as well and other activities that she was doing. It makes perfect sense now, Jim, why she would have her own private server and do all of that separately. And everybody knew it, as you say. And this was so she was like running a separate thing. Now, So the illegal implications of that in our federal government, do you know of any illegal? I understand classified and unclassified information and the highly classified information. We know all those laws were broken. We understand that. But I'm talking about just having a private server. What if all of his cabinet members went ahead and did their own private service for whatever reason and run their own business on there? Number one, it's dangerous at the highest level to be running our national security through these means. As you've said, going through the White House, you have the highest order of security that there possibly could be. So that's gone and wavered right away. But what if all of them were doing that? How illegal is it or is it not for her? I understand it wasn't really illegal for her to have the private server. And should that be a new law we create in our country if it's not illegal?
Well, I mean, our computers are an extension of our First Amendment right to communicate and say whatever we want. And you know, if you have one and you're doing just normal, lawful stuff, you know, we all have our own email systems and we do stuff. It's the fact that she used it to do government work on it. Once the stepping stone is, as soon as you go to doing government work on it, now you start crossing the line and having a problem. Sure. And all of us who have worked in government, me in the military, you know, I had to be careful. Okay, I want to type a presentation that I'm going to give tomorrow, and rather stay at the office late till 10 o'clock. I'm going to go home and do it at home.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not doing anything nefarious. I'm doing something that the government benefits, but I've got to make sure I bring a copy of that and put it on my you know work server so that it's there as a record. And I would do that. It's using it to do illegal stuff,
nefarious kind of stuff.
That's where you cross the line.
Listen, it also depends upon the classification of the information you're playing with.
Oh yeah, we haven't even talked about the classification.
Right.
As soon as you remove classified from a U.S. government computer, you've broken the law.
Right. There you go. And we know that's happened already with her.
And that happened. Absolutely.
All right. So what I was trying to point out is just having a private server, if all the cabinet members and others did that, and I'm not talking about a Gmail account or something you keep referencing. I don't really care about that stuff. I'm talking about having a private server where you're running official government business through at the highest order. That's illegal.
Absolutely.
And so yet she was doing that here, but yet as just about all America knows at this point, Jim, she continues to get away with everything. Not only is she the current day Bonnie and Clyde, you know, robbing every bit of prestige in our country and stripping us clean of that, but she continues to get away with it as she leaves the scene of every whatever you want to call it, robbery attempt she has pursued. It's like she's got like the masterful getaway car in the universe. It's unbelievable. And they continue to look the other way. Now, on to that point, I want to talk about Congress. So Ratcliffe, he says in his statement, as I read through the statement, he says, "I'll be brief in Congress on the sensitive sources and methods by which it has obtained in the coming days." So he had a lot more to say about this. He said he was going to be briefing Congress. Now, I'm wondering a couple of things here. Number one, when that has happened, if we even know. And two, I mean, what does that really mean? Because Congress, up to this point, I mean, we know they haven't done anything. And of course, does that mean he's briefing the House or the Senate? Because if it's the House, you can forget about it. I mean, period. And if it's the Senate, you almost still can forget about it, because there's not much of a difference between a Democrat or a Republican these days when it comes to Congress. There are so many rhinos and others in there. It's hard to fathom what they do with it. So what happens with this now when Ratcliffe supposedly does that? And where does this, what goes on next?
Whether it's Ratcliffe or the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff or the director of CIA or any head of a government agency, they're obligated by law to brief Congress. And so when you hear he's going to brief Congress, it's because they're all obligated at certain points, and it's all laid out in statutes and everything of when and how you must brief Congress on whatever it is, you know, and what committee, whether it's the Intelligence Committee or Judiciary.
Should be the House Committee. He'd be briefing here, right? The House Committee, I believe.
Yeah, more than likely the House, but he may brief the Senate. They may ask for it too. It all depends I agree with you 100%. The track record for anything being done isn't going to happen. There is a silver lining, though, by briefing it, because when you brief it to Congress, even if it's briefed behind closed doors, it's going to get out and the public is going to know. So by briefing Congress, it's going to be made public and the American people are going to know. It might anger American people and they're going to say, okay, yeah, here we go again. Nothing's going to be done. The thing that's worrying Congress, and when I mean Congress here, I'm talking specifically about the House, which is led by the Democrats. You know, they worry about it because they know if it's being briefed to them, it's also in the hands of a guy named Bill Barr. And they're scared of Bill Barr because they don't know what he's going to do. They went and got a new charge against him or last week on some procedure he did to pick one of these judicial, you know, panels or committees for people to review law enforcement across the country or something like that. You know, and they're like, well, you didn't follow the procedure and how you picked the panel, a little piddly ass crap, but they don't like him one bit. They're scared of him. And they see him as he could turn on us tomorrow and they expect it. You know, we all sit there and say, when is this going to happen? When is somebody going to be indicted? When is that? Well, you know, we had one guy indicted already. I suspect we'll probably have another one. I'm thinking it's probably going to be Weissman. I see it more beneficial after the president is elected. You know, I had said probably by Labor Day, but things have changed. And, you know, I was expecting, and maybe, you know, then the Supreme Court justice situation came up and the president had to nominate somebody. So there's been a lot of obstacles that have come up, the virus and everything else. So, I mean, it's going to happen. And I'm confident now more than ever with the latest stuff that Ratcliffe put out. And I'm of the belief there was perhaps some timing there to maybe get something a little bit more substantial out there before the election.
Exactly.
And as you said, this is pretty monumental stuff that's come out. So, you know, to use the cliche, there's light at the end of the tunnel. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a tunnel and the Democrats are afraid of seeing that light at the end of the tunnel more than anything else.
Yeah.
And we all know they're going to do whatever it takes to stop it or interrupt it or put a barrier up. But
yeah, you laid out well there. It seems to me like the walls are closing in slowly but surely. It's a slow close. It's not a quick close by any stretch of the imagination. You have the 2020 election right here. We're on the eve of. We're just weeks away now. You've got all of this, what's happened with the president and the first lady in regards to COVID some days ago here. You've got all of these pieces that are impacting the campaign, and the pressure is high, and you can feel it out there. You can about cut it with a knife, it seems. And then we get to the conclusions of what we're confident in or not confident about here. You can see why, Jim, all the stops are being pulled out from the extreme left, the far left, and just the general left to try to win this election, because it changes all of those storylines almost overnight immediately. Like you say, the Ratcliffe DNI statement coming out, very strategic. The other things that will happen with Durham, and a lot of this is going to have to get out there. The impact on the election and the fact that those doors are closing, and the fact that some people think, you know, with an election, anything could happen. And so put that into context for us, please, as to what you think happens with the election. You know, if it's a Biden win versus a Trump win, or what the how this all impacts this, and what happens between there and January 20th if the unthinkable did happen.
Well, I think first and foremost, the Democrats know Trump is going to win. As things have been going, you know, we watched the Democrats. Joe Biden wasn't doing any campaigning, no ground game anywhere. Now, all of a sudden, with 30 days or so, he's decided he better do it, at least to show that he tried to do something, because right now he hasn't done anything. And I think the election intelligence, so to speak, the president and his close advisors for the campaign know where he wells and where where he sits and how well he's doing. They're pretty positive about that. And the Democrats know if he gets reelected, now he has, you know, it's kind of like now he can open the door and go as fast and as wide as he wants on everything. He's got nothing to lose after November 3rd. He, you know, indictments can fly. People can be charged. You know, they don't have much to stop them on other than they'll try to appeal everything. And they'll, and, you know, the courts on both sides will be fighting more than ever. But, you know, it's part of it. Just look at the Mike Flynn situation where Sullivan is just dragging his feet on this. They don't want Mike Flynn out there. They don't want him out there because he knows too much. And once he's free, the muzzle off, and he can talk, and he's going to go on a speaking tour like there's no tomorrow, revealing what's going on. That's the only reason. That's the whole reason they did what they did to him.
Yeah.
You know, so here we are 30 days out from the election. A lot of information has come out. A lot of things have been happening. The president has to go through the final hurdles the last 30 days to win. And then, the floor is his. He gets to do whatever he wants. And I think we will see a number of people indicted. I find it interesting that there's a new investigation started on Hillary. That's been one of the things that people have been calling for. When are they going to go after Hillary? Well, it looks like Durham is doing something on that. What comes out of that and what the intent behind it is, could be a lot of things. It could be reason to pressure more people to speak up. We know that a number of people have flipped in the last several months to Durham, and they're talking. So this is the kind of thing that we're going to be seeing in the next few months. Of we'll get a better picture, I think, after the election of where everything is going with this.
Colonel Jim Warshak, you know, what an interesting program, really. One of the most interesting conversations on this topic I think we've had to date here, and the things we've talked about. And I had a feeling we needed to do this program today and the importance of it. And I think it puts it into really good context. It does for me, and I believe it should for you as well. So I want you to leave here understanding that not all is lost by any stretch. And as you hear Colonel Jim Warshak put it out there, you know, the light of day and the truth seems like it shall prevail here and will prevail, God willing. But this is a cover-up at the highest order. And we now know that. We've talked about it here, this Obama-Clinton cover-up here. And now it's on to election 2020. It's on to, as Jim says there, what happens with the indictments and what exactly happens after that. We're talking a big moment for our nation. But we're also talking an opportunity to move our country forward in ways we haven't been able to before. We need that to happen for all of this to be put in the right context. It is imperative that these things happen now. And that's the importance of this election. It's the importance of all of the things that need to happen also in regards to the House and the Senate. We cannot lose sight of that. And we must fight for every piece of momentum and every vote. And we need to support this administration to get to the God's honest truth so we can move forward and unveil the things that need to happen here. Tremendous thank you here to Colonel Jim Warshak. Thank you, friends, for being with me on the mission here. We'll continue onward here. It's time to get involved and get loud.